We might start with the fact that the US has decided that it's going to Shanghai a Venezuelan oil tanker. And what did they say, Anila, about that?
Well, they said, I can't find the quote immediately, but, but they essentially accused it of being the ship that was stolen as being a part of illicit oil trades that are part of funding terrorist activities between Iran and Venezuela. So another completely unsubstantiated claim. This one, perhaps even more outlandish than some of the drug claims. I would maybe not necessary to compare, equally as outlandish, I should say. They also have doubled down on moving in the direction of essentially undermining Venezuela's sovereignty and ownership of its own kind of assets and resources by sanctioning six more ships said to be carrying Venezuelan oil a day after they seized the tanker. What sanctions mean specifically remains unclear, but the US press secretary did say, quote, we're not going to stand by and watch sanctioned vessels sail the seas with black market oil, the proceeds of which will fuel narco-terrorism of rogue and illegitimate regimes around the world. So, you know, a not so subtle nod to the seizure not being a one-off occurrence. And they've also levied sanctions at Maduro and some of his family members following the seizure as well. So, yeah, definitely an escalation in the Venezuela situation over the last week.
Especially with the Nobel Prize-winning candidate Machado saying that she fully supports this action, saying that it's a very necessary step to confront Maduro's quote-unquote criminal regime.
I don't know why anyone thinks she's not, you know, a pallbearer of peace. It's crazy.
Well, it just shows you that the Nobel Prize is not something that is worthy of attention.
No.
It's obviously deeply...
How embarrassing for them.
The Amnesty International has put out a piece saying that sustainable peace requires international justice for all victims of all crimes in Israel and the OPT. The states must demonstrate their commitment to international justice to ensure genuine accountability for victims of war crimes, crimes against humanity and genocide for all those in the occupied Palestinian territories, OPT, and in Israel, says Amnesty International, following the recent conclusion of the International Criminal Court's Assembly of States Parties in The Hague. A similar theme. I just thought it was a similar theme. Mm.
And as we talk about summer arriving here, it's winter in Gaza, and winter storms batter Gaza. From Dropsite News, at least 12 Palestinians have been killed or have gone missing in Gaza over the past 24 hours as torrential rains, high winds and flooding batter the enclave, according to the government media office. At least 13 homes have collapsed and more than 27,000 tents sheltering the displaced have been swept away by flash floods, either submerged by water or torn apart by strong winds. Civil defence teams are struggling to respond to hundreds of distress calls. The office said that more than 1.5 million displaced Palestinians in Gaza are at risk, and the UN's International Organisation for Migration said in a statement that basic toolkits, sandbags and water pumps have not been allowed into Gaza due to, quote, long-standing access restrictions by Israel. These materials are critical for repairing and reinforcing shelters against continued rainfalls and mitigating floods in sites.
If we come closer to home, there was a large amount of information around the rising levels of death in custody, black death in custody, that was highlighted this week since the Royal Commission. From an article put out by Freedom Socialists, the 1983 death of Yin Jabadi, teenager John Pat, at the hands of a racist state was a watershed moment. Despite multiple witnesses seeing five off-duty cops brutally assault the 16-year-old and an all-white jury acquitted the police officers, accepting their claims they were acting in self-defence. This injustice sparked the formation of the Committee to Defend Black Rights, a First Nations-led group campaigning to end deaths in custody. Relatives of those who had lost loved ones crisscrossed the country to speak at public meetings, rallies, and in the media, turbocharging a grassroots media movement, which finally compelled the setting up of the 1987 Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. Now, if we move to the present, more than 600 First Nations people have died in custody since the Royal Commission, and this is clearly not okay.
And I think further to the relevancy of those findings, last week we had the Tasmanian Custodial Inspector Dr. Grant Davies' review released, Security Contractor Transport of Young People in Custody, Safeguarding Review 2025. It found that there has been, surprise, surprise, mistreatment of youth in custody as they're being transported between facilities. There's been a recent report of a young person who was being transported having their head covered with their own t-shirt, creating an improvised spit hood while their hands were handcuffed behind their back. This is a quote from Jake Smith, the Tasmanian Aboriginal Legal Services Chief Executive. "The use of a spit hood or the use of an improvised spit hood is completely unacceptable. It contravenes United Nations conventions on the rights of the child. It's dangerous and dehumanizing. All children and young people deserve to feel safe and supported and should be, no matter where they are, and particularly in the care of the Tasmanian government, its contractors and service providers."
Yes, that's exactly right. Before we get to more positive news, you may not have noticed, but the Albanese government has given the green light to 5 new offshore exploration areas in the Otway Basin. It was announced just before the gas market review, and this tender shows Labor is gearing up to increase supply rather than fix the crisis. The the Greens have slammed the Albanese government for handing out new ocean acreage to their donor mates in the fossil fuel industry to exploit in the time of climate emergency. Labor's disgraceful decision has nothing to do with everyday Australians and everything to do with the state capture of our government by fossil fuel corporations. Australia is the second biggest exporter of fossil fuels in the world after Russia, yet Labor has no plan to deal with our exports and is content with 56% of all Australia's gas being exported without paying any royalties or resource rent tax. That's $170 billion. That's $170 billion worth of free gas over the next 5 years for big gas companies. And as we lead, it's like a Christmas present of death, really, isn't it?
That's one way of putting it. I feel like I'd like to finish off with a bit of positive news to cleanse our palates after, as you've said, a Christmas present of death. We've had climate protesters winning a groundbreaking class action lawsuit this week against Victorian police over their use of pepper spray. This was the first ever class action against Victoria police related to the excessive use of, I'm going to pronounce this terribly, Olearison capsicum or OC spray. The presiding judge awarded the plaintiff, Jordan Brown, $54,000 in damages, recognising both the physical and psychological harm caused by Victoria Police's actions. Brown said in a statement following the ruling that, quote, "putting up a banner protesting against the expansion of mining companies and technologies that destroy the planet should never be a reason for police to come in with OC spray." Pretty sensible, I would say.
But also, going back to the Victorian police failed to prove that it was in self-defence, mm-hmm. that they felt threatened by the demonstrators. Anybody who was at IMARC would underline that. It was pretty outrageous, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually surprised, to be honest, that it's the first case of its kind, because having been along to some of these protests, very hard to understand where OC spray would ever be an appropriate response to protesters.
Oh, yeah, but also the gleeful way that they spread it right across everybody's face, and also won't even attack. I mean, I've seen it, actually attacking the medical crew that are there to help people when they get it in their eyes. So, of course, there isn't any way of actually getting it out of people's faces. It's quite focused. Quite
hopefully
focused.
Marks the beginning of a bit more pushback against wanton violence.
Yes, coming from the state.